Justin Lanning.
I'll use the pulpit mic, guys. I don't have the lapel. All right. Turn to Isaiah chapter number 35 this morning. Isaiah chapter number 35. We'll just read two verses of scripture, and I'll be pretty brief, and I'll let Gunn come up here. But in the first verse of chapter number 35 of Isaiah, it says, "The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God." Now, Isaiah, we know it's a historical book, first of all, where it speaks of the history of the nation of Israel and the different things that occurred to the nation of Israel. But we also know that Isaiah is also a prophetic book. It's prophetic in the sense of where it speaks of Christ, of his coming, his suffering, and his crucifixion on the cross. We know that it speaks of him coming down to this earth and of speaking of our salvation. We know it also speaks of the nation of Israel prophetically and how that the nation of Israel will throughout various times in their history will be brought into captivity and how that then they will be brought back out of captivity. It speaks of the end times of the nation of Israel and how God is going to use his nation and his people and what he's going to do with them. And it also speaks of the last days for the Gentiles as well. In Isaiah, we know it speaks of the things that will come to pass to this world and to us if you're still alive and if we're not saved. But in chapter number 34 of Isaiah, when you read through it, we see God's judgment on the nations of this world in the 34th chapter of Isaiah. And we see, when you read through it, you see the desolation that occurs in the world, that will occur, the judgment that God is going to bring upon this world and this earth, and the way that he's going to right the wrongs, if you will. But then when we come to chapter number 35, we see where he restores the world, though, where there's a restoration after the destruction that comes, though. And this restoration, it speaks of salvation, and it speaks of the nation of Israel and how that they will come back to God. And it speaks in the last verse of how that everyone will go into Zion, how that we'll march into the city, essentially, in the last days, and we'll be singing praises unto God. It's speaking of the new Jerusalem and the new earth, the things that are going to come to pass in this time. But just for a couple minutes, I just want to speak about the rose that's mentioned in the first verse of chapter 35. And this rose, what it signifies is it's the second time in the book or in the Bible where rose is mentioned. The first time is in the Song of Solomon when he speaks of the rose of Sharon, and we know that to be Christ, to be Jesus, the beauty of it and all of it, the fragrance of him. But the rose in chapter 35 of Isaiah, it's not speaking of the rose of Sharon. And studying it, no one really agrees on what this rose is or what it represents. They just simply say it's just like a flower, it's a plant. And this morning, I just want to preach about a specific rose, and not the rose of Sharon, but I want to preach about, it's called the Rose of Jericho. And if you're not familiar with the Rose of Jericho, we're going to learn about it just for a couple minutes and how we can be like this Rose of Jericho and how we should be like this Rose of Jericho. And I just want to speak of three quick things about it. And number one, I wanted to speak to its adversity of the rose, the adversity that the rose faces. See, this rose, it lives in a very dry place, first of all. See, many plants and beautiful flowers, they live in a well-temperate environment, somewhere like around where we live, where there's a lot of rain and sunshine, and it's a very temperate and even climate, where there's not a lot of highs and lows in the temperatures, where it doesn't get too high in the day and too low in the night. It's not a place around here where things grow nice and beautifully, where there's a lot of sand. There's good soil where roses and other beautiful plants grow. But this rose of Jericho, it grows in a very dry place. It grows in the southwestern part of the United States and in Mexico. And there's a second subspecies of it that grows over in the Middle East, hence the name Jericho.
And so it's in a very dry and arid place. It's in a place where there's not a lot of water. It's in a place where there's where the sun is very hot and there's not really a lot of shade for it. It's in a place where it doesn't really get a lot of nutrients and a lot of moisture. The things that plants need to grow, it doesn't seem to get any of those things. And so you would think, how does this rose survive in this dry place? But also it lives in a very dangerous place as well. You see, if you've never been to the desert is it's a very unstable place. It's a place where in the day it gets very hot and in the night it gets very cold. There's a drastic swing in the temperature. But also, and because of that, the atmosphere in the desert is very different as well. It's not like it is around here many times where you know a storm is coming and they'll talk about on the weather channel for a couple days and then, yeah, here comes that storm. In the desert, a storm can pop up just randomly and all of a sudden. You can look on the horizon when it's been a beautiful sunny day and 5 minutes later there's a terrible storm coming and the winds blow and the rain comes and it washes everything away and the sand and everything it's unstable. It moves and it shifts constantly in the desert. These storms come up and they create these ravines in the desert and these gullies in the desert. It makes it a very dangerous place for this Rose of Jericho. But also, this Rose of Jericho, it faces adversity because it lives in a diseased and a dead place too. Because there is no water and because it's a very unstable place in that desert, a lot of plants can't survive in that desert. Because there's not a lot of water where things grow, there's not really a lot of animals that live in that desert. For the most part, there's rocks and sand and cactuses and this Rose of Jericho that lives in that desert. And you know, and if someone were to wander out in the desert, if you've ever been there, you know how hot it is and how quickly you can become dehydrated and how quickly that you can die and you can shrivel up and you could die from dehydration. And the same thing for an animal or a plant. And so what happens in the desert, God has buzzards. He creates buzzards that come by, and it's his trash collector, his trash receptacle, his recycling bin, if you will, where these buzzards, they come by and they pick off the diseases that are in that desert, the diseases off of the things that die in that desert. And so you would think of, with all of the things that occur in the desert, just the way that it's a dangerous place and it's a harsh place to live in, that nothing could live there. Yet that Rose of Jericho, it blooms and it lives in that desert. And we should be just like that Rose of Jericho, and we are, because we live in a very adverse world, and we live in a very dry world, and we live in a very dangerous world, in the diseased, infested world, in the dead world. We live in a world where there is very little water, spiritually speaking. We live in a world where there is famine in certain countries. We live in a world where in our country, our country seemingly is turned upside down right now over a disease. We live in a very sin-cursed world because of Adam and Eve's fall in the garden, because of our constant sin as being fleshly humans. And because of our sin, we live in a dangerous world as well. God sends storms our way. He sends physical storms. He sends hurricanes and tornadoes and floods and all these different things, these different judgments that are on this sin-cursed world. And because of all this, the disease, the ultimate death comes upon man when we die because of sin and we go to hell if we're lost. And so we are just like this Rose of Jericho because we live in a very adverse world and we face adversity every time we walk out the door going somewhere. But secondly, the rose, there's an adaptability to this rose. It's very adapt to its environment. And let me say that it's very adapt to its unstable place. You see, like I said earlier, that sand that's in the desert, see, when you have grass growing, those roots, they hold that soil in place. See, if you know anything about farming, in the wintertime when nothing's really growing, you plant a cover crop. And what that cover crop does is the roots hold that soil, that fertile soil in place until the spring when you can plant whatever your crop is that you're going to, whether it's corn, soybeans, or whatever it is. And if you didn't have that cover crop in the wintertime when the winds blow and everything, there's nothing growing and nothing alive, that wind from the winter will come by and it will spread out that good soil and it will distribute that good soil, but to a place where it's no longer in your field. And so the next spring when you come to plant, your crop will not be as fertile and will not grow as good. You see, that rose, it's very adapt to the ever-changing environment which it lives in. That sand constantly changes in that desert. And you see, the thing about that rose is that it doesn't need sand to grow. You see, when the storm comes and it blows it across the desert from one end to the other, wherever it winds up at when the wind stops blowing, it can root right there. You see, it doesn't have to root in the sand. You see, what you can do with one of those roses of Jericho is it can root on the rock that's in that desert. When you grow a rose of Jericho at your home, you don't plant it in soil in a pot like a typical plant. What you do is you just want to have a cup and a couple small pebbles on the bottom and put a little water in it, and it'll root on those rocks that's in there. It doesn't need soil. It can just root on the rock. If you're not getting what I'm saying, that rose of Jericho roots on the rock just like we root on the rock of Christ that He is, because He is the rock of ages and the rock of this world and the chief cornerstone. And so we can be just like that rock of Jericho and root on that rock just like it does. It doesn't matter when the winds of this world come by and they shift the sand that is around us and the world changes and it seems like we wind up from one side of the desert to the other. We don't really need that sand to root in. We don't need that soil to root in, because the nutrients do not come from the soil. The nutrients for that rock of Jericho do not come from the soil. Our nutrients do not come from the soil. Our nutrients come from the rock, just like the rose of Jericho does. But then also, it lives in a very uncertain place, meaning that water is very scarce in the desert, as we all know. But you know what it does, how that rose of Jericho survives when it gets real dry. You see, when it's moist and its roots are full of water, it spreads out and it's a very green and beautiful plant. But when it becomes dry, it curls up in a ball. It curls up in on itself and protects itself. And you see, what it's doing is it has seed pods in the center of it. And it's curling up and it's sheltering those seed pods from the wind and from the sun and from the heat and from all the adverse conditions in that desert. You see, it's surviving is what it's doing. It's shielding and protecting itself. But you see, even though it seems like it's dead, if you walked by, it would look like just a piece of tumbleweed blowing in the wind. But those roots are still stretching out and are still feeling for water. You see, that plant is not dead. It's just temporarily went into hibernation, so speaking. But those roots are constantly alive, and those roots are constantly feeling, and those roots are constantly searching for water. Those roots are constantly searching for something to rock, to latch onto, and to stabilize itself on. Those roots are looking for something that they can build on and that they can hold on to in that harsh environment that they live on. You know, and that's just like us. Many times when we get dry, you see, when we're full, we're spread out just like that rose of Jericho, and we're green and we're blooming and we're strutting and we're flaunting and we're feeling good and we're looking good and we're acting good and we're proud and we're happy that God's filled us the way that He has. But those times when we go through our life when it's dry, and those times when we don't really have any water, any nutrients, any moisture, and when we've kind of shriveled up and that wind's kind of blowing us across the desert again, just because we've curled up, it doesn't mean that we're dead. It just means that we're protecting ourselves and God's protecting us. We're protecting that inner being, those seed pods that plant is protecting. We're protecting our soul and our spirit from Satan and from this world. And you know, when that rose, it's searching for water and for another rock to latch onto. And when we read our Bible, even though that it doesn't seem like we're getting anything, when we read our Bible, we're acting just like that rose of Jericho. We're constantly stretching out a root here and a root there across God's Word and across the pages of the Bible, looking for something, for a little drop of water that we can soak up so that we can spread back out and bloom again, so that we can bloom wherever God blows us to for the next time. You see, we're looking for something to latch on to as well, and something that we can stand on as well, just like that rose of Jericho is and does. But thirdly and lastly, and then Gunn, you can come on up. The rose of Jericho, it's abiding. What do you mean by the rose of Jericho, it's abiding? Meaning that it's simply preserved, and it's a preservation. It's a constantly living and thriving plant. The rose of Jericho, if you have one in your home, and if you're watering it and letting it spread out and bloom and looking all pretty for a nice decoration, you can let it dry up, and then you can put it back into storage. You can put it in a closet or in a pantry or something like that after it's completely dried up, just in a paper bag, and you can keep it in there for months on end. And you can pull it back out and you can put some water in it, and just a couple hours later, that thing will bloom and spread back out. You can't kill the rose of Jericho. You see, that rose of Jericho, it can literally be passed down from generation to generation. You see, it literally does not die. When you bring it back out, when you rewater it and it spreads back out, it may have a couple of brown pieces on it that have died, and you trim them off, and a new one sprouts out and grows, and it's a healthy plant again. It may be a little sickly and may need a little attention and care, but that rose is still alive. And that rose cannot die. And that rose, it's an everlasting rose. It's an eternal rose. That rose, it literally can go on forever. From the beginning of time until this world's over, that rose of Jericho can survive because there are documentations of it being passed down as a family heirloom from generation to generation over hundreds of years. One rose of Jericho. And we should just be like that rose of Jericho. If we are saved, we are, because it may seem like God puts us in storage for a little while. It may seem like we go through life and everything's going good and we're getting the sunshine that rose gets, and we're getting the water that love gets, and we're getting the attention that rose gets from that person who's taking such good care of it and who's making it such a showpiece in their home. But then we do go through times where it seems like we get put in the closet by God, and where it seems like where it is dark in that closet, and where it is dry in that closet, where it doesn't seem like that He's coming by and He's paying us any attention. But we can rest assured that one day He will pull us back out of that closet or that pantry or wherever it is, and He'll put us on the rock, and He'll put some water in that cup, and those roots will soak up that water and will spread back out, and we can keep passing on in this life. But then also we can rest assured in the fact that what Christ did for us on Calvary is just the same as this rose of Jericho. We can rest assured that no matter what happens in this life, that for eternity we will be like that rose of Jericho, and we will never die, and we will constantly be on that rock one day, and we will constantly be having that water one day that rose of Jericho has. Gun, you can come on. That rose of Jericho, it's just a beautiful plant. It's the most amazing plant that there is in the world. I don't know of any other plant that has such unique characteristics and capabilities, and just the way that God has made that rose of Jericho. It's divine the way that He made it. And I want to be like that rose of Jericho this morning. I want to be rooted on that rock, and I want to soak up all that water that I can get so that I can bloom out and spread out and be something beautiful for God today.